Now then, we're reading from Lamentations then, the third chapter. We're going to read that section from verse 21. Is it verse 20? No, yes, verse 21 to 27. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Let me go back to verse 19, actually. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, and to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Now our text this morning is found in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. A little red book, a book of sorrow, as we've explained to the boys and girls, grieving over the fall and capture of Jerusalem by the Emperor of Babylon. Jeremiah in the book gives us this eyewitness account of the events. He struggled with the fact also that God had promised to preserve and to care for his people. So chapter 3 describes a man. We haven't had opportunity to read the whole chapter, but if you've got it before you in your Bibles, it describes someone who in verse 1 has seen affliction. And immediately now we can begin to identify, this is 2,500 years ago that these words were written. And yet immediately in verse 1, a man who has seen affliction. Well, you might not have seen the affliction that Jeremiah is describing here, but you've known something of the grief and the sorrow. He goes on also to say in verse 2, here is one who has walked in darkness rather than light. Now we know he's not just referring to the fact that he's an individual who's trying to save a bit of electricity or not use a candle and deciding to walk through the rooms in the darkness. No, this is something that has been, in one sense, he feels imposed upon him. He would wish to walk in the light, but he has walked in darkness rather than light. Also as well, we read in verse 3, whose skin and flesh has grown old. There's a sense where the difficulties and the troubles of his life has aged him prematurely. He's also, we read in verse 4, surrounded by bitterness and hardship. I wonder if that's a situation that's true of a family this morning, where really we should all be pulling together, working together and bringing ourselves through this difficult time. Actually, the words are more clear. It's bitterness and hardship dealing with one another. Also as well, look at verse 11. He has felt left without help. No one to support him. No one to see him through it. He has also been, we read, the subject of mocking songs all day long, says verse 14. He feels he's the cause of the jokes of so many people. And also, he's forgotten what prosperity is. That's what verse 17 tells us. Now, as we're looking at the description of him then in these opening verses of chapter 3, we can see something of the sadness of it all. Verse 18 continues, he is a man whose hope has gone, he says. My hope has gone. I did have hope once, but now I feel no hope at all. And then we read in verse 19, these are the things that he remembers. And they're the dark clouds that are hovering over him. And verse 20 tells us, it has caused him to be downcast. Jeremiah, 2,500 years before anybody perhaps began to write about mental health, about the strains and the stresses that life can bring, and we know something of that from when we considered Jeremiah's life last week. No wonder this man is feeling downcast. And then, in verse 21, there's a dramatic turn. He remembers something else. Oh yes, he's taking account of all the reality around him. But then he remembers something else. Another thought begins to press upon his mind, upon his consciousness. And it begins to shine a ray of light through the cloud of despair. What is it? Well, he remembers, verse 22 and 23, the Lord's steadfast love, his unfailing mercies, and his great faithfulness. Now then, as we begin to look at these two verses, does your present experience in any sense reflect something of what Jeremiah is feeling here? Has life been hard for you? Not only perhaps this last week and since March, since the previous lockdown, but over the years. Has life been hard for you? Have you faced afflictions and difficulties and trials on your journey on the path of life? Have you felt deprived of peace, wondering if life will ever return to normal again? I think certainly we're at that point. There were many people who said, oh, there'll be no second wave. The prophets of doom, and here we are. And there's no guarantee that there won't be a third wave in the new year, January and February. So let's give attention to these two verses, because these are the verses now we need to read, we need to meditate on, we need to remember them, we need to memorize them, because these are the verses of Scripture that might help us through the rest of the autumn and into the winter. And let's look at this point that God is faithful. Great is your faithfulness. Very simply this morning, let's look and first of all consider that God is faithful. Faithful to provide blessings for us. That's really our testimony to the present moment. We've been through one lockdown. Was he not faithful? Did he not care for us? Well, if he's done that, will he not also be with us in this second wave or a third or a fourth or whatever, how many it be? God is faithful to provide blessings, firstly. Secondly, God is faithful to postpone judgment. That'll be interesting. Thirdly, God is faithful to pardon sin. Well, that's the whole gospel story, isn't it? And fourthly, God is faithful to protect his saints. So let's begin. God is faithful to provide blessings. We've just been through the harvest period, have we not? And we've been reminded of the promise with Noah in Genesis chapter 8. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. We celebrated harvest. We saw the church decorated, not perhaps as much as we would normally do so, but we acknowledged God's goodness. Reminding ourselves of the words of Psalm 145, the Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving towards all he has made. The eyes of all look to you, O Lord, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living things. And so God is faithful to provide blessings for us. Now you might have some cynic listening to this morning who might say, well, yes, well, that's all very well, but you see, there is so much starvation in the world. Why are people hungry? Why are children undernourished? Why is it that a footballer has to take it on board to be concerned about the feeding of children during a half-term holiday? Why aren't governments taking this on? Well, the subject matter is an important one. Let's make an obvious point. Christians believe that each person is made in the image of God, with a mind, with emotions, with a will, but that their human nature is marred and ruined by sin, so that selfishness dominates. And also, though so many people wish to believe that we are basically good, and I'm not saying that we don't do no good things, certainly there are good deeds, but our basic propensity, our basic division, our basic rule, our basic way of thinking about things is more on a selfish basis. People are not puppets. They are responsible and accountable for their words and actions. And it's probably true that the history of mankind indicates it's not that God has failed to provide for his creatures, but that people, sadly, have miserably failed to distribute and to share the abundance of the earth. We think of the wheat and butter mountings, perhaps, that we used to talk about in the European Economic Community, waiting perhaps for prices to increase, or perhaps of the corrupt governments that cream off their percentages from the well-intentioned food aid that is sent to countries in the developing world. But there has also been a failure to assist nations as they're seeking to be sustainable and resilient against perhaps food shortage. Each and every one of us has to take responsibility to do whatever we can to share and distribute some of the blessings that we have been bestowed with. And under that heading, I'm so grateful to the fellowship over the months since March, who've contributed to our local food bank. And I've had the opportunity then not only to take the groceries, but the money donated gifts as well. And speaking to those who are involved in this, they are so grateful for our continued support. And that should continue now through the rest of the autumn. So firstly then, God provides blessings for us. The second point we need to mention this morning is that God is faithful to postpone judgments. He defers his judgment. You see, again, the cynic asks, if God is the judge of all the earth, if God is supposedly just, why is it that so many people seem to get away with the evil deeds that they do? There are those who are saying, you see, this is what's happening. There are certain rules now that the majority of people have to obey, and they can be fined and perhaps even become a criminal under the law because of that. And then others, it seems, of a higher echelon, some sort of people in authority, and they have a separate set of rules for themselves. Why is that? Why do those then who seem to be getting away with it get away with it? And some seek to answer this by saying, well, if you do something like that, well, simply what you do, you begin to demean yourself as a human being. You no longer act as a human being should act, and you damage yourself. And if you continue in that way, well, then it'll be a continual habit which will develop, and a character will come to conclusion, and you become less human as a result of it. And that will bring its own punishment upon you, because there will be people around you who will realise that you can't keep a promise, that you'll always fleece them, that you'll never tell the truth, and that you can't then be trusted. And then you are labelled as unreliable, and as a result of that, you will lose people who will want to have jobs done by you. And so the consequence of your actions will catch up with you, very much like the programme TV Rogue Traders expose the deceptions of individuals. And in that sense then, you bring judgment upon yourself. Well, that's an aspect of certainty of acting immorally. But the Christian teaching goes much further than that. There is a postponement of judgment in this respect. Each one of us, you see, the Bible tells us, will give an account for our lives before God at a day of judgment, the day of judgment. And sin's consequences will then be more than an exposure of our true natures, but also the fair and just treatment of eternal punishment. There'll be no half sentence on parole. You won't be given 20 years and only have to serve 10 or less. There'll be no opportunity to take your life before the trial and go out of existence and supposedly escape justice. No, you will meet God at the moment of your death, and then you will be judged, and the eternal torment and sorrow and regret of a life lived without God, with no appeal to go back, will be the result. Now, what some think is an indifference in God to the evil deeds of people is actually what we read and are considering here, a postponement of judgment. What the Lord God is doing is allowing ample opportunity for each and every one of us to consider our ways, to repent, that's the old-fashioned word, to turn from that, to turn away from it, and to set off in another direction to live a different life. But notice the word used is postponement, not cancellation. If something is cancelled, it may not take place. But if something is postponed, it will take place at some later time in the future. I know there are already families who are saying, Christmas will not be cancelled this year. Even if we are eating turkey at Easter time, we will celebrate Christmas. It's not cancelled. It's only going to be postponed. Now, can you see exactly what is referred to here then? As the Apostle Peter in the New Testament says this, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise to return again the second time. He is patient with you, not wanting any one of you to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So don't assume because you're getting away with things and your life is going on that God will not bring judgment. He is patient and he is caring and he's giving you the opportunity to come to him. Thirdly, let's come to this point. God is faithful to pardon sin. I love this thought. God's faithfulness is also seen in terms of what he has already done to enable sinners to be forgiven. The Old Testament, we know, points forward. And this book as well, in that measure, and Jeremiah and Isaiah, we've already mentioned, point forward, their prophecies point forward to a coming deliverer. Who will blot out, who will remove the sins and which are a barrier between us and our God who is holy. And all those prophecies we know are fulfilled and the promises are fully realized in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world. Jesus of Nazareth, born some 2,000 years ago, conceived miraculously, without human sin, living a perfect, obedient, clean life, pleasing Almighty God in all that he did, in word, thought, and deed. Also then identifying himself with those who had failed. And those then who were far off from God. And he took their place of judgment at Calvary. The old hymn describes it so well. In my place condemned he stood. He sealed my pardon with his blood. One of the last things Jesus said on the cross was recorded as the words, it is finished. Not I am finished. It is finished. It's not I've had it, but I've done it. All that was needed to pardon sinners has been done once and for all. And rather than wait to stand before God at judgment day, a sinner now may acknowledge their sin, may turn from them now, may believe upon the Lord Jesus that he lived and died in their place, and commit themselves to follow him for the rest of the days of their life, and they might know now that their sins are forgiven. Not having to die and wait then. We will not be at the judgment day. Jesus has answered for us already. One of John's disciples, the Apostle John, said it so well in his first letter, chapter 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, if we own up to our sins, if we agree with God with regards to the things that we have done and the ways we have walked away from him, if we confess our sins, he is, here's the word, he is faithful. That is, he's reliable, he's trustworthy. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So many people wishfully think that they would give anything for a new beginning, for a fresh start, for a wiping of the slate clean. Are you such a person this morning? You may still be young, but you wish you could start your life again and not make the mistakes you have. Are you perhaps middle-aged? Are you perhaps at the end of your life and you have time now as you sit down, you're reflecting, regretting perhaps, in the cul-de-sac, more and more, so many things that you've done. And you're fearful. Fearful of the consequences that when it all comes out, when it's all known, that there'll be members of your family will not think so highly of you. But perhaps more importantly, that you will meet God and have to stand before him. But imagine that you could have a fresh start. And that's what this point is offering to us all this morning. The Bible tells us plainly that God's love and mercy, we've read it in verse 23 here, it's new every morning. You can start again. God's mercy pardons you, and God's grace provides for you all the strength you need to follow Jesus. Have you started again? I would say to you, if you haven't started again, you're not yet a Christian. Every single one of us has to start again. Now, let's look at the final point this morning. God is faithful in providing blessings. God is faithful in postponing judgment. God is faithful in pardoning sin. God is faithful to protect the saints. Now, you might be thinking, well, this beginning again and this starting the Christian life sounds so good, sounds so hopeful, and that you'd like a new start. But you're already saying to yourself, I'm not sure, you see, that I could keep it up any length of time. I've stopped making resolutions in the new year. You see, I know I'm so faithless. I know I'm not trustworthy. I know I'm not reliable. I know I falter and I fall and I fail all the time. So to commit myself to this, in one sense, is setting me up for failure again. But the wonderful truth of the Christian gospel this morning is that if God begins a work in you, he sees the work through to the end. So many of us are half jobbers, aren't we? We start a job, we never finish it. It goes on the list and other things take their place. God's not like that. He can be relied upon to see the work of salvation through to its glorious conclusion in heaven, in a life of every one of his blood-bought saints. When Paul the Apostle wrote to the believers at Corinth, he described them as saints. To the church of God in Corinth, to the sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints. Paul is saying every Christian is a saint. Separated to God, set apart to serve, worship and to love God. Well, some might think that it's a responsibility beyond them. I'll never make it. I'll let God down. Well, of course you will let God down in your own strength. But God now sees us through the eyes of grace and sees us dressed in the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. And as we prayed, the Spirit of God comes to dwell within our hearts and he guides us and leads us to live that life that pleases God. Paul later wrote to the Corinthians and said this, he will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. God will see you through to the end. So may these four thoughts help us this morning. God is faithful to provide blessings, and therefore we must continue to be prepared to share and distribute the blessings that we have known. God is faithful to postpone judgment, and therefore none should take for granted that they're getting away with anything. You'll get away with nothing. But you take the opportunity to repent and believe because it's postponed, not cancelled. Thirdly, God is faithful to pardon sins, so we must call upon him now, call upon him in the day when he calls us. And fourthly, God is faithful to preserve his saints to the end. So we need never despair, and we need to be able to look to him every morning, for every morning these mercies are new to each one of us. May God bless his word to our hearts this morning for his name's sake.